Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible. We're going to go through some scriptures here very quickly. Romans chapter 2, turn there. it was supposed to be. I've been keeping track. I've got a sheet of paper that I keep, and I've been writing down all the sermons that I've been preaching. And if I'm in a series of something, I keep note of it, because I'll get messed up and forget where in the world I was supposed to be on Wednesday night, or what I was supposed to say Sunday night, or whatever. And according to my old list, we were supposed to be in 2 Peter on Wednesday night. And something came up, and I just started doing a study of the inward man, the inner man, the new man, and just kind of contrasting it with the outer man, and God just kind of answered some of my questions for me. And I talked about that the last two Wednesday night. We're going to finish it up tonight. But what I've got to show you tonight literally just was this afternoon. I was going back over the notes again, and I was thinking about it, and I remembered last Wednesday night I put a picture up on the screen there of the dirt and the seed going in the dirt and everything like that. And the dirt was us. That's us. That we're made of clay and we're made of dirt. And God put His seed inside of us, and that seed's going to grow. And so that's the idea of the inner man. And tonight we're going to look at the outer man, what everybody sees on the outside of us. And I'm going to show you something tonight that hopefully you'll love it. All right, and you take it. Once I show it to you, you take it and you just run with it and go all through the scriptures and ask God what it means. Romans chapter 2, in verse 28, Paul said, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly." Now, Paul is laying a foundation here. That's what the apostle's job was. It was to lay a foundation of how it's going to be from here on out. God called Israel. God called, and the name Israel is based upon Jacob wrestling with the Lord. And here he said he blessed him and called him Israel. Paul even said later on, they are not all of Israel. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. What does he mean by that? He's meaning that just because they are of the seed of Abraham through Isaac and through Jacob, that doesn't mean automatically that they get to go into heaven. They have to have the same thing that everybody else has to have. They have to have the new birth. They have to be born again. They have to be saved. They have to believe that Jesus is their Messiah, that He's the Christ, that He is the propitiation for their sin. They have to have faith in Him and trust in Him. And they have to believe what God said, just like you and I. So He's establishing now this idea that the real Jew, the real Israel, are all of those who have been born again. Now, I do not believe in replacement theology. I think that's a crime. I think it's a shame. And I get mad about it when I hear people talking about it. And I've got a Watchman broadcast coming up, and I'm going to name some names of some people that are in replacement theology. It's going to make some people mad. I can't help it. God made a promise to Israel. God made a promise to the Jews of the Old Testament. If He breaks His promise to them, He'll break it to us too. God does not break His promise to His people. Amen? He does not do that. Go read Jeremiah 31, verse 31, and find out about that new covenant that God said that He was going to give to them. And we're just kind of outside participants in this deal. That new covenant belongs to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those 12 tribes. We are just grafted into this side. Somebody say amen. But He's defining now who is going to be a Jew. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He's talking about circumcision. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. And then look at verse 29. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. If you'll do a study of the book of Matthew, and I think I mentioned this already, you do a study of the book of Matthew, what you'll find is Jesus is taking everything that those scribes and Pharisees are trying to tell everybody to believe in, and He's saying, you say that, oh, it's got to be this way, but I'm telling you it's this way. You say that if a man, commits adultery with a woman, it should be killed or whatever, but I'm telling you that if a man looks at a woman, he's committed adultery with her where? In his heart. Jesus was taking the old system of making it look good on the outside, and He's now going to the very core and the heart of the matter of where sin actually is. It's in the heart of man, and he was going after that. And you'll see that contrast there. And this is what he's getting at here. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Anybody can make it look good on the outside and get the applause of men. Anybody can do that. God's not impressed. He's going to look on the inside of you and find out what's there. Somebody say amen. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And boy, hurry up there, all right? Hurry up, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Sometimes I wish I could auctioneer. I'd get to preach some of these 5 pages of notes as fast as an auctioneer will run through dollar bills. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now I want you to look at that. By the way, and I want you to look up that picture up there. That picture is the picture of the outer man, even though it's a woman. But it's a woman for a reason. Where do you see what I'm going to show you? That is a picture of where you and I are headed. Some of you are quicker than others. I was going to put a picture. This is, describes the old man that the Bible's talking about. I was going to put a picture of Brother Sterling up there, but I didn't think anybody would believe anybody was that old still alive. So I chose this one. How you doing? I've been teasing him for years, even when he wasn't old as he is now, about how he was always the old man when we worked. Anyway, that is a picture of the old man. And here, of course, according to this verse, though our outward man perish. We can look at somebody like this and we can say, you know, they've lived a long life. And, you know, at some point they may get sick and you just kind of say, well, you know, they've lived a long life and they're probably just going to die out of it here before too long. The family and all of us here at Bethel was watching Sister Waymire just kind of go step by step down a little bit. And there, the last night, she was over at the hospital and her family, they was all gathered there and they were just saying, you know, we're just praying that God would say, this is the day. You know, cause she was hurting, she was struggling, you could tell. And we did. We just all agreed in prayer, God be merciful to her and take her. 4 o'clock the next morning, she's sitting eating breakfast with Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that's what it's all about. Amen. And nobody was going, oh no, we can't let her go. It was time. 96 years old. It was time. This is what we expect to happen. We expect the outer man to perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, listen to this. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. He called that. There's a reason why we call this the Old Testament, and this is the New Testament. He is equating the Old Testament with old age. And he says there in Hebrews, in that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. That body is decaying and it's waxing old. It's getting older every day. And it's ready to perish. But if we are in Christ, we don't worry about... I don't worry about Sister Waymire. I didn't want to say, well, we think we need to hang on to her for a few more years. Let her go. I know where she's going. Amen. I know that the moment she quits breathing in this life, her soul has become freed from that old decayed, corrupted, rotten body that has had numerous diseases and this and that and the other. And now she's in heaven with her husband and she's in heaven with Jesus. And she doesn't want to come back down here. Somebody say amen. So he, watch this. He equates this covenant with the human body being old. This one is about being brand new again. Okay? I'm setting you up. Jeremiah 31. Turn there very quickly. You hurry up and turn there and I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. This is what God swore was going to happen. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This is Jeremiah 31, 31. Now we're in verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. You know what he's saying here? The new covenant that I make is not going to be like the old covenant. Don't let anybody try to tell you that in order to be saved or stay saved or please God, that you got to go back and do what God said in the old covenant. Don't let anybody tell you that. Let me tell you this though. Adultery is still wrong. Fornication is still wrong. Stealing is still wrong. Lying to people is still wrong. These things are still wrong. And what you know what Paul said the law was? It just made sin great big. You know why God did that? So He could show that He's bigger than all the great big sins of the world. Amen? That's what He's telling us. So He said, the new covenant is not going to be if you perform or if you do, then I will give. That's the old covenant. The new covenant is, if you believe, then I'll give. And everybody in this room should admit, it's a lot easier to believe than it is to do. Amen? A lot easier to believe than it is to do. That's the new covenant. So He said, not according to the covenant I made with the fathers in the day that I took them by the hand. Verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law where? In their inward parts. Oh, what, you wait till I show you this. I will put my law in their inward parts. When the book of Hebrews quotes this in Hebrews chapter 8, he says, I will put my law in their minds. It's going to be in your mind and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Now watch this. Two things that God said He was going to do with the new covenant. Number one, He was going to write it in the inward parts or their minds. And then He was going to write it in their hearts. If you go back and contrast that with the old covenant, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God told Israel, these words that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And He said, you shall bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And to this day, those Kabbalistic Jews, they wear this little thing on their head called a phylactery. And Jesus talked about that, and they got a little piece of scripture, and they're stuck right on their forehead. And they bind a little piece of scripture to their arms. I think it's their left arm, I'm not sure. But they walk around like that, and walk around as if they're really hot stuff, because they've got scripture to their hand, that scripture stick in their forehead, but their heart is so far away from the real God, they don't even know who He is anymore. But their boasting is in that they do that little thing out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And God said, here's what I'm going to do. See that scripture that you got sticking on your forehead? I'm going to actually take it and put it inside your mind. And I'm going to take that you've got bound to the outside of your hand, and I'm going to put that in your heart. And let me tell you something. When it's in your heart, you know it. There's no doubt in your mind about it. Amen? So that's the opposite of what we see in Deuteronomy 6. All right? Now, watch this. I'm going to show you the outer man and the inner man. See that old lady up there? Okay? Turn to Genesis 18. And when you turn to Genesis 18, I want you to read verse 11. Okay? And I'm just going to sit here and grin. Because I already know what it says. And I already know what's in there. I already know what it's about. And I like it. Genesis 18, verse 11. Those of you watching online, you're cheating because Michael put the verses up on the screen for you. You read verse 11? What does it say about Sarah? She was old. She was 90 years old. Old. And then what happened? She got an inner man on the inside of her that was brand new. Isn't that... Y'all are going... Think about it. Here's the doctrine. The doctrine says, this is the outer man, and it's old, and it's stricken, and it's decaying, and it's getting older every day, and it's ready to vanish away. But God put a new man on the inside of the old man. That's what that is. Picture this old woman carrying a baby in her belly. That's the picture of the doctrine. Woo! I like it! God drew a picture of that doctrine for us in the Bible. And there it was sitting there all the time. God took an old woman. You know what she represents? She represents the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. She represents the old flesh, the old us. But watch this now, because I was sharing this with somebody today. In Genesis 18, you read this. I'm going to ask you, what was Sarah's spiritual condition when God was standing right in front of her, telling her she was going to have a baby? She laughed, and then when she was confronted about laughing, she lied through her teeth. Listen, we're that old man. We're Sarah. About half of us don't want to believe what God said. We struggle with it. We say it can't be. I'm too old. It's long past. There is no hope for me. And God took this old woman who was ready to perish and put the new man on the inside of her. That's what that doctrine looks like. You'll never forget this now as long as you live. You'll never forget the sovereign grace of Almighty God who took this old dirt, this old thing, and hid His new man on the inside of that. And it's going to be born one of these days. When we die, here it comes. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there. Man, I like that. You'll never forget that as long as you live. In fact, you'll never forget every time you look in the mirror, first thing tomorrow morning, and you're going to see those eyes sagging, and that belly hanging out, and that gray hair, if you still have any. You're going to see all that, and you're going to go, man, I'm getting old. But I got something new in me. And the interesting thing is, that new thing never gets old. It's renewed. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 7, do you look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. In other words, don't look at the outward appearance. Don't look at the outward appearance. Think of what it must have looked like for John the Baptist to show up to preach around the Pharisees. The Pharisees who would have been dressed to the nines to make everything look good on the outside. Jesus called them whited sepulchres. And here's John the Baptist wearing a coat of camel's hair, dipping locusts in honey. And he was a Nazarite, which means he hadn't cut his hair. He had a big old nasty woolly beard, big old long hair coming down off his shoulders, dipping locusts in honey, going, repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand! Amen? Don't look on the outside. John Baptist had something inside of him that those Pharisees never got. They never got a hold of it. 1 Peter chapter 3, turn there. Ladies, turn there. 1 Peter chapter 3. Every woman, turn there. Michael, get them up on the screen so those ladies watching online can see this one. Now I want to tell you this, ladies. It's not wrong for you to fix your hair. Thank God it's not wrong for you to fix your hair. Amen? It's not wrong to kind of dress yourself up a little bit. There's nothing in the world wrong with that. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, he says this specifically to the ladies, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting the hair and of wearing gold or of putting on of apparel. Now I want you to look back up at this screen here. Has this old woman got a lot of money? Just look at it. No? You think she sat around and had servants bring her stuff all day long while she sat and sucked cigarettes and drank martinis and watched soap operas, and you think that's how she lived her life? No. We're looking at just a simple woman who probably married young, probably had her children, now her husband's dead, and she's lived her life. She's just plain old woman. She didn't go out and have cosmetic surgery that killed her, like Joan Rivers. She didn't have any of that stuff done. She just let the outer man perish. But she had something beautiful on the inside of her that would never fade away. So, but let it be, verse 4, the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible. There it is. That new man on the inside of you, it doesn't ever get old. It doesn't corrupt. It's renewed every day. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Isn't that what Solomon said in Proverbs 31? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. This matches that, Proverbs 31. Let me read this to you real quick. I want to try to move through this. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. You remember when Samuel's going through the lineage of Jesse? Looking for the next king, isn't he? He sees the firstborn son. Boy, I mean, he's a nice looking hunk of a man there. And Samuel's going, surely this is it right here. And God said, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. By the way, what was it that marked Saul, or what was it that made Saul different than everybody else? Anybody remember what the Bible says? He was head and shoulders above. He used head and shoulders. Never had dandruff on his coat. No, he was head and shoulders above everybody else. That was the outer man. And what happened with Saul? Gone. Man quit believing God. Turned his back on God. Rebelled against God's Word. He rejected God's Word. God rejected him. Took a spirit off of him. Gave an evil spirit. He's over there consulting with familiar spirits and witches and everything else. But he was head and shoulders above everybody else. He, on the outside, it looked good. But the inside was full of corruption. And God was telling Samuel, this next king, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. He said, I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And God, here he is, here's Samuel going through all those boys there of Jesse. And he's going, well, you know, they're here. I don't see them. Lord, who is it? And so he asked Jesse, is there anybody else? Jesse said, well, David. He's out with the sheep. And I'm going, why do you bring him in? And he brings him in, and Samuel set his eyes upon David. The Bible says David was ruddy. You know what that means? He looked like Matthew, only shorter, probably. He was freckle-faced, red-haired. Not much to look at. Sorry, Matthew. Okay. What they call a ginger now. Okay. He wasn't much to look at, but God said, that's him. What did God say about David's heart? What did God say? He was a man after God's own heart. David had that inner man in him. Amen? That's what he was looking at. Now watch this. I'm going to run through this very quickly, then we'll be out of here. Here's just something to think about. This is, a picture of God's people. Our outer man is going to decay. We're not too worried about it because we know what's on the inside of us and it's good. Amen? Listen to this. If the outward man looks good, it may be that the inward man is not. Let me read some scriptures. Psalm 5:9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Did you hear that? Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with the tongue. You know what we do with sepulchers and graves? We decorate them on the outside, make them look real nice. Put flowers on it, we put a nice headstone on there, make it all look real good. Make this person look good. But inwardly, it's full of corruption. And that's what he was saying there. In Matthew 23, verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." He said in verse 28, "Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." We, to this day, do this, especially in conservative fundamental circles. We think that the hair's cut just right, and the dress length is just right, and they wear a nice suit on Sunday, and they keep everything clean and polished and look good on the outside. We think, boy, those are good Christians right there. And we look on the outside of them. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Reg Kelly, he'll tell you, he works day after day with a lot of Mennonite and Amish families down in Norwood. And he said, "Mike, they're fine as far as folks are concerned. They've got, you know, you can tell that, you know, they dress a certain way and they don't listen to that." He said, "But I'm telling you, they're just as lost as anybody in this state is lost. They're just as lost." And he said, "In fact, they're probably worse off because they've developed this idea that their bishop will tell them whether or not they're saved or not by how much they follow the rules of the community. Their bishop tells them." And Reg had a family. We was down there several years ago. He had a family sitting there. They didn't look Mennonite. And Reg told me, he said, "Mike, what it is," he said, "that guy started reading the Bible, realized that him and his family was not saved, even though they was in the Mennonite community. They got down on their face before God. God saved them, and they went and told their bishop, and they put them out. They said, 'You cannot be saved without me telling you.' And so they put them out, and they started going to Reg's church. It doesn't matter how they look on the outside. Amen? We're finding this out right now. Listen to this one. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." But they got their hair cut right. They got it parted, just how everybody should have it parted. And the ladies all wear a nice long dress. And they don't... And Muslim women have more modesty than most American women do, but they're lost. They're very lost. It is not how it is on the outside. Matthew 7:15, listen to this. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Look nice on the outside. They look like saints on the outside. They're not. He said, beware of them. Luke 11:39, "The Lord said unto him, 'Now ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness.'" Now, I'm not against looking nice. I try to get up, clean myself up, get my hair combed just about right, put on some decent clothes. I'm going to come here and preach tonight. Put on my slacks. I usually like to wear jeans. I come here some days, but I don't have my jeans on today. Got my nice slacks on. I got my nice sweater I got for Christmas, and trying to look nice and everything like that. That don't mean I'm saved. That doesn't mean I'm right. That doesn't mean that I'm good on the inside of me. I mean, I believe when God cleans the inside, it just spills over on the outside. I do believe that. I've seen it over and over and over again. Old Larry Ziegler, old guy we knew, and his wife came here for a while, and he finally came. He had a big old bushy beard and this and that and the other. You know, it was an old drywall hanger. Boy, I mean, he got saved. And next thing we know, he shaved that thing completely off. And I'm going, "Who is that?" "That's Larry Ziegler." "Nah! No one told him to do that. He just decided, you know what? I want to live clean." There's something in his heart just saying, "I want to live clean." He just cleaned himself up. But what I'm saying to you is, in conservative, fundamental Christianity, some of the most wicked people are in existence. In fundamental churches, conservative churches, King James churches. King James Bible churches have a massive, massive sin problem in their midst. They make it look good on the outside.
We found out that doesn't mean a whole lot. Not when you find out what's on the inside of them. Amen? Learn something from that woman. Learn something about Sarah. Everybody will say, there's no use. The devil will try to tell you, you're too old, you're too corrupt, you're too wicked. There's no way in the world it'll happen. You see, the devil cannot touch that new man on the inside of you. He can't touch it. He's clean. He's incorruptible. He's forever. Amen. That's what you got on the inside of you. You are Sarah carrying the child of promise on the inside of you.